Well, welcome to the Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast, hosted by the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter. I'm Dave Austin.
And I'm Kurt Frankham.
And part of the mission of the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter is to provide scholarships to service-oriented high school seniors.
Each year, approximately 50 deserving students are awarded scholarships to local colleges and trade schools.
And if your family or business would like to join in providing scholarships to these future leaders by sponsoring a podcast, please contact us at byupodcasts.slc@gmail.com, and we'd love to contact you. Each time we do one of these interviews, I am so excited for the opportunity. I feel like I learn more than anyone by virtue of the chance to listen to our amazing guests. And today we have the incredible opportunity to meet with Sister Sharon Eubank. Sharon Eubank was born in Redding, California. She is the oldest of Mark and Jean Eubank's 7 children. She served as a full-time missionary for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the Finland Helsinki Mission and received a bachelor's degree in English from Brigham Young University. After graduation, she taught English as a second language in Japan, worked as a legislative aide in the U.S. Senate, and owned a retail education store in Provo, Utah. Since 1998, she has been employed by the church's welfare department, helping establish LDS employment offices in Africa and Europe before directing the Latter-day Saint Charities Wheelchair Initiative. In 2008, she was also asked to oversee humanitarian work in the Middle East as a regional director of Latter-day Saint Charities. In 2011, Sister Eubank was employed as a director of Latter-day Saint Charities, the humanitarian organization of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and she has been since named president Latter-day Saint Charities, a role she fills concurrently while serving in the Relief Society. In April of 2017, Sister Eubank was called as a general officer of the church and the first counselor to President Jean B. Bingham in the church General Relief Society presidency. The presidency helps provide leadership and resources for 7.2 million Relief Society members in 162 countries. In 2021, she was asked to serve as the executive director for the Just Serve organization, a worldwide nonprofit organization that helps link community volunteer needs with volunteers. She has a strong testimony of the happiness that comes from following Christ. She believes ministering to others is the very DNA of being a member of Christ's church and the heart and soul in Relief Society. Sister Eubank, welcome. Thank you for being with us.
That was a mouthful, and you did it so nicely.
Well, I was going to ask my next question is if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe one of the most interesting things you've had so many opportunities that you've been able to see or observe throughout your time and your career.
Well, I was just thinking that introduction sounds more impressive when you say it out loud than it did to live it. I feel like I am one of the luckiest people in the world because I get to be the spokesperson or the face for so much good work that other people are doing. I don't mean to take credit for their work, but I really love what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is doing as an institution, but also with its members. And you can tell, I'll just tell you the one story that just because I'm thinking about it this week. I got a note in my office about a Just Serve project that's happening in California. And it happened because they sent a photograph, and it's a front porch, and it's got like 80 packages on it. And it happened 4 days in a row that they got 80 packages on this front porch. So the UPS man rings the doorbell and he said, "I'm afraid you're a victim of a scam." She said, "What do you mean?" He says, "People are sending you stuff every day." And she said, "Oh," she said, "I'm working on a project that is providing kitchen equipment for Afghan refugees that are being settled in my hometown of California. And so I just have an Amazon wish list and people are fulfilling that and it's getting shipped to my house." And he got all emotional at the door and he said, "I'm an Afghan refugee. I was resettled here 22 years ago. I got a kitchen kit like this."
Wow.
So just the fact, you know, that you got to kind of be an eyewitness to hear a story like that is really moving to me. It's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, and I'm sure every day there's just another story to add to the journal with the you know, associations you have. I'm curious with your recent move and oversight of the Just Serve app. I think many members of the church are hopefully aware of the app, sort of have an idea what it's for. But what are you learning as you're stepping into that role as far as the power of this Just Serve resource?
Thanks for asking me about Just Serve because it's so exciting. Latter-day Saint Charities is 33 years old, and it's mostly expertise and money that people donate on the tithing slip. But Just Serve is an opportunity for us to donate time. And it really fills out the church's mission that anybody can give anything. And you can give large amounts of money or small amounts of money or expertise or time. And so I really love that. I like the idea that you can open up the app, you can put in your zip code, and it will show you all kinds of different things around your zip code, and you could say, I would like to work at the food bank, or I'll go do visiting over at this care center, or I'll help coordinate volunteers every Tuesday. You know, there's different needs for different people's circumstances. But I feel really energized that service brings a community together. Service kind of knits us back together when there's been some holes from this past year that have been so difficult with health and politics and just all the things that divide us. I think service is one of the things that we can all agree on. And one of the most exciting things about Just Serve is where it started out as a church-sponsored thing, it is now expanding into a community platform. So state governments are saying, hey, this is our official platform. Anybody can use this. And our interfaith friends are all using it for different things. So I just really like that it's become a community where we can all focus on something that we care about.
And that was one of the things I was most interested in or impressed with what you were talking about is the because my son just barely went on to Just Serve with his, he has a service organization and was able to go do some fun things with the nursing home with his group, and found that on Just Serve. But interested in who all is involved with Just Serve now. It's not just the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, there's now an advisory council, and these are CEOs of very large, busy corporations that are advising us, and we're building bridges to all of the volunteerism that they use. So the Red Cross, Catholic Relief, Rotary International, the Salvation Army, National Volunteers Organized Active in Disasters, VOAD. I'm trying to remember all of them. IsraAid. Med Global. So there's the Post News Group, which is a newspaper for Hispanic and Black churches. There's just a real wealth of expertise that is all saying, we love service, we're going to promote Just Serve app, and we're going to use it in our corporations. So I really love the opportunity to see it get out at that kind of a level.
Yeah. Now, obviously, we're the Salt Lake chapter of the BYU Management Society, so I want to ask a very specific Utah question. That is there, you know, with the church so concentrated here and so many wards and stakes using the Just Serve app, is there maybe advice you have for Utah units using this app and communities using this app that maybe is different than outside of Utah? Or
in Utah, because everybody overlaps and you don't want 15 stake calling, you know, the one resource that's there, we're using the communication specialists that are attached to the coordinating council. So they're the focal person for this. So they're working with the organizations, and then they're feeding that information down to the stakes and also to the different corporations that post on there. So they're sort of the focal point. So you can always find your communication person at the coordinating council.
That's helpful.
What was it like speaking at the UN, and how did that come about?
Well, it's petrifying, I'll say that. It's because it meets all of your preconceived ideas. You sit at a table with a microphone that you turn on and off, and you know your name is in lights, and it's just like what you see on TV. And so it was a little bit paralyzing, but it was such a great opportunity to represent the church there and to see the church, which is a global organization, interacting with another global organization. And we, of course, don't mesh with the United Nations on all their principles, but on the principles of service and helping people that are in a disaster, we can work together on that. And they're attracted to us because it's volunteerism. We bring our own resources and funding. And we don't just give that funding to the United Nations and say, go ahead and use it as you want. We lay out the parameters and we say, you know, the overhead can't go over 10%, and these are the things that we expect, and then we do something together. So that's been a new relationship, and it's been positive, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm curious, you know, it mentioned in your bio and also in the luncheon you talked about it, just this focus on Jesus Christ in service. And sometimes there's so many organizations, so many needs, and you know, we're putting kits together of this, and sometimes you just get caught up in the administration of the service. Do you have any tips or perspective of how we can always make sure Christ is at the center of the service opportunities that we do?
Well, I'm going to put Dave on the spot because you said your son was involved in a...
Yes,
so what would be his answer to that? Because he just had this experience. And, you know, He did some activities, but what did it mean to him?
See, this isn't the way it's supposed to work. We're supposed to be
I thought we were having a discussion.
Oh, this is a
good... Yeah, there you go. Let's hear it, Dave.
I'm
come
on.
On
the spot. I will tell you truthfully that it meant a lot to him. And I think what I identify with what you were talking about, how can you not feel good when you're doing something for someone else? I mean, he came home. He's very busy. He's cross-country team, you know, trying to get good grades, applying to colleges. And he's like, do I really have time to go do this? Yeah, he went and he did it. And he came home with just a big smile on his face. And I don't know how you can possibly not be happy doing something nice for somebody else.
Yeah.
I had a similar experience. I just weighed down. It's been a difficult year, and we're trying to wrap up all of our funding, you know, at the end of the year, all of our accountability to the First Presidency. And I had an hour, and I went over to St. Vincent de Paul right here in Salt Lake and helped prepare the noon meal. So my job was, they had 80 pounds of hamburger that had to be opened up and dumped into a big tub and then fried. So, you know, the frying spatula is like a big rake. I remember. Wow. But it only took an hour, and we made the casserole, you know, for that night. I walked out of there feeling so great. And it was not exactly convenient, and it took time, but it made me feel like an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Mm. And so when we take the sacrament every week and we say that we'll remember him always, that was 1 hour when I was thinking about him and his children, and that is meaningful to me.
I'm going to ask you a little different question. You mentioned something about return missionaries in the luncheon, and I'm just curious what your thoughts are, how to keep missionaries strong after they return home from their missions, and what do missionaries do, or what should they do to remain strong and active in the gospel once they return home from their missions, where they have a structure and they have everything going on, and then they get home and it's like all of a sudden everything, the world hits you in the face.
I always tell missionaries, when you get home, this is the chance for you to give evidence that everything you taught during your 2 years was real, because you're still going to read your scriptures, you're still going to bear your testimony, you're still going to go to the temple the way that you taught and testified to other people. But for my own experience, it was really hard to be home. You lose all that structure. You don't know exactly what you're going to do, and you know, you don't know exactly where the line is in worldly pursuits. In a mission, you know exactly where the line is, but in your regular life, it's a little bit trickier. So one thing I would say, and it's not for the young missionaries coming home, it's for us as the church society, the church family, give them something to do. They have had all this leadership and all of this experience, and we should be backing off and letting them, you know, plan the parties and do the social media and you know, do the temple and family history work and the missionaries, because they have so much energy for this time. What they know is right for right now. Sharon Eubank, you know, I was good in the 80s. but missionaries are completely focused on what will work right now to attract people over the bridge to interact with Jesus Christ again. And I think we ought to give them more opportunity than we do.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm curious, you know, obviously the BYU Management Society, there's a lot of professionals that are in our audience, and you know, and in the context of your calling as the first counselor in the General Relief Society presidency, what message would you have today for the sisters who are in professional roles right now, regardless of maybe their specific circumstances, but anything from that context that you'd like to share?
Yes, thank you for asking me that. People talk to me all the time about how to find the balance between working and family, and about feeling guilty for working and all the reasons. And there were reasons why the prophets said the things that they did in the past. But the current prophets are saying, you need to make a decision that's right for you and your family and your circumstance. And the Lord's going to hold you accountable. And as long as you can feel good about your decision, you don't need to worry about anybody else. You know the principles. You know how important it is to be with your family. And so you do what is right for you. In almost every country in the world, people don't really have the option. Most of the time, women have to work in some ways. Hopefully they get education that they can have some flexibility, but that just isn't possible for some people. We just have to do the best we can with the situations we have. And I would beg people, make a decision prayerfully, use revelation, and then don't feel guilty.
Sister Eubank, thank you so much. We're so grateful to you we know this is a lot of time out of your day and how many things you have going on. And we're so grateful to you for coming and for serving us.
Could I just say one other thing about BYU Management Society?
Please.
I love this umbrella group because you help people keep active the way that they felt when they got their blended education between educational pursuits and spiritual pursuits. And I think the Lord looks down at people in the society, says, I can use them. And he will give specific inspiration on any of these topics. If we just show the slightest bit of interest, he'll direct us. And then we are a part of his greater work. And you can't ask for anything better than that. It's what gets me up every morning. I really love to be part of his work.
Well, it has blessed my life, BYU Managed Society, greatly. And thank you very much for being here. And thank you to all of our listeners. We'll be back again next week with another episode of our Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast.